Our text this morning is from Hebrews chapter 12. The sermon will be focused on verses 5 through 11, but I would like to read from verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Let's pray. O Lord, as we come before you, help us to truly understand who you are as our God and the love that you have for us. Help us to see your discipline, to be trained by it, to be made more holy as you work in us. Enable us to come to the end and see the peaceful fruit that is the result. The peaceful fruit of righteousness. Lord, be with my words. May they be true to yours. And may we all take to heart the message that you would have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I might have mentioned before, I learned to ski by just going to the top of a mountain in New Hampshire and strapping on some skis that I'd borrowed from Kit that were about 50 centimeters too long for a beginner to ski with. And I started bombing down the mountain. And when it looked like I might be going into the woods and smash into a tree, then I would just wipe out. And then I'd put my skis back on and start all over again and bomb down to the next. It was a lot of fun, actually. Although there were a few bumps and bruises. The next day I rented some skis that were more my size, and I actually got a little instruction in how to ski and started making it down the hill without falling quite so much. And it was still fun, but not quite the excitement that I'd had the day before. Eventually I actually became the person in charge of the ski club at the school that I was teaching at, and was able to pick up skiing quite a bit better, started to parallel, started to be able to to get down the hill pretty good without falling too many times. And, I just got better at it. Well, I went back to skiing quite a few years later. The ski club was nice because I went out every week and was able to do it. And you do get better by practicing and doing something over and over again. I went back to it a few years later after not skiing for a long time. And I got to the top of the hill and I went down one of the easy slopes. And then I started down one of the ones that were a little bit harder, one of the intermediate slopes. And I was very careful so that I wouldn't fall down. And after a couple times of doing that, I said, this isn't much fun. So then I started to push the envelope a little bit more and do some of the jumps and do some of the harder slopes and started enjoying myself again. But guess what? As I enjoyed myself again, I was falling again. But that's okay because I was learning. I was growing. I was having a great time, but I was learning how to do it better. Do you have bumps and bruises in your life for Christ? Now, if you don't, maybe you're playing it a little bit too safe. Maybe you aren't doing the things that He's really putting down in front of you to do. Maybe you're resting on the peace part without seeing that there's a purpose part too. They're both there. And as we carry out the purpose for which God has given us, there will be bumps and bruises along the way as He disciplines us, as He changes us, as He does the things that He does in order to make us more like Him. But don't lose sight of that purpose. We're on a path for Him. And we need to be traveling along that path and being used of Him to bring others to the wonder of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the wonder of God's grace. If we're doing that, we know there will be bumps and bruises because God is disciplining us as sons. But there will also be an end result, the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by that God who loves us. Let's look at this passage in three parts. First of all, sons. What's he mean by that? What's he mean by treating us as sons? Then the discipline. What's included in that? And then the peaceful fruit that comes as a result. First of all, sons. Verse 5, and have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? Have you forgotten that? Have you forgotten what God has told you as His sons? Now, some of you sitting there will say, well, I'm not a son, I'm a girl. But the use of the word son here is very, very important. Tim Keller in our study in Galatians brought this out. And he said, you know what? Some people will change this to as his children. But the word is actually a son. Why? The reason is because ladies at this time did not have inheritance rights. It came through the man. It came through the son. Now there's no longer any male or female when we come to Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. We all have those inheritance rights. We are all His adopted children, male and female, and He treats us as sons. He gives us the right to be a part of His kingdom. He gives us the inheritance. He treats us as sons. That's an important part of His relationship with us. We have a place and we have an inheritance. So don't forget what He says to us as sons, as those whom He has brought into His kingdom, as those who He has brought into His family. Don't forget what He has said to us. And then He quotes from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by Him. For the Lord disciplines the one He loves and chastises every son whom He receives. Have things always been easy for you in your Christian life? Well, if so, you better think, am I doing what God has called me to do? If we are his sons, he will discipline us because he wants us to make us better. He wants to bring us closer to himself. He wants to work in us that we might be closer to him. He disciplines us for our good, and we'll talk about that a little more later. He disciplines us for our good that we might share his holiness, that we might be more like him as we live for him. If you are a son, you receive discipline. It's a demonstration of the Father's love for you. And it's for this discipline that we endure. Notice verse 7, it's for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. We go through the things that we go through in this life so that God can teach us what he wants us to learn, so that he can bring us closer to who he is. It's why we go through these things, why we endure through these things, why we show the perseverance that is the perseverance of the saints, because we want to be more like our God, like our Father in heaven. It is for discipline that we endure. So don't regard the discipline lightly. Don't dismiss it. When he says, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, it's that dismissal. It's not thinking about it. The word has the thought of just puny thoughts. Just not thinking about what God is trying to teach us. Don't regard his discipline lightly. What are you teaching me, Lord? It's a question that should be on our lips. What are you teaching me, Lord? And then look clearly at what God is teaching you. Don't be distracted by the things of this world. Don't be distracted by the pleasures of this world. Don't be distracted by the things that might look good on the surface. But look at what God is truly seeking to teach you as you go through the circumstances of your life. Don't regard his discipline lightly. Instead, take it to heart. Have it affect your life. Well, what's included in discipline? Well, there is some instruction. Okay, discipline, the word here is paideia, and it's the word used for training up a child. Okay, so you're training. What do you do? Well, you instruct. God gives us instruction. He gives us his word. And he gives us his Holy Spirit to open that word to our minds so that we can learn of him. Instruction is a part of the discipline that he gives us. He says, do not regard lightly the discipline of your Lord. And that's the whole idea of training, the whole idea of instructing. Nor be weary when reproved by him, when guided by him. This word has the sense of reproving, partly, but also convicting or convincing. Make sure you're listening to what he says as he guides you along. Also involved in discipline is practice. If you were ever on a sports team, you know that you had to practice in order to be a better team. There's practice involved. Now that comes in a little bit later in verse 11. Those who have been trained by it. That's the idea of practicing. The word here is the word that we get gymnasium from. It actually, the root of it is actually just being naked. So we have to be a little careful about just looking at the roots of words. But the idea was that athletes of the time would become naked and then they'd go out and do their thing. And so they would practice, they would train. And so that's where we get the word gymnasium from, is the athletes that were practicing, the athletes that were training so that they could run the race better. Now, what did the writer start talking about in this chapter? Running the race that is set before us. We are to practice those things that God has given us. Is that always easy? But some of my sports teams, I had a soccer team one time with 33 girls on it. And I was hoping that some of them would would not persevere through the first few weeks of practice. You know, I would just run them and make workouts so hard that I was hoping to lose about 10. I could deal with 20 or so. That would be fine. But 33 is a lot of girls to try and deal with all six. None of them left. But anyway, it's hard sometimes, that practice. We need to look at our Christian life and see that things aren't always easy. But when we take on the hard things, God develops us. When we go into His Word and dig into His Word and see what it says, when we fellowship together and open the Scriptures together, it's not always easy. It takes time out of our week. It takes some effort to get together. But it's good for us. We need to see how He is training us. And another thing involved in discipline is pointed out in verse 6. The Lord disciplines the one He loves and chastises every son whom He receives. Chastises every son. There's correction involved as well. Now the root of this word refers to this. So He whips the one He receives. Now, note what just happened, okay? I did it pretty well the first time. I'm glad of that. But the whip. I think this was the first shock collar. Because there is a controversy of whether the real import of the whip is to hurt the animal or to just guide it. Now, probably the animal needed a little bit of sting the first time, like the shock collar you might put on your dog. Needed a little bit of sting the first time, but then that sound... I can't do it again, never mind. But that sound then would guide from that point on. And so the whip was that training tool to help the animal to go where he needed to go. Now, it's weird what people do though. When the whip started to be used on people, it wasn't quite the same. It was meant to hurt. Okay, with the animals, I don't think it was meant to hurt. It was meant to train, to guide. With people, it was meant to hurt. And so, when the people of Jesus' time were whipped, often on the tail, they'd put some bone or some rocks or something that would really cut into the flesh. So you could be hurt pretty bad by the whip. With people, it seemed that the punishment was the primary thing, not the guidance. When God chastises us, when God whips us into shape, it is for guidance. It is the original purpose. Now, in the Hebrew, if you look back in Proverbs 3:11 and 12, the Hebrew doesn't use the word whip. The Greek translation of it put in the whip because it is the meaning of the Hebrew word in terms of the training, the correcting that's there. And so that's the prime import here. Not necessarily the hurt, but the correcting that comes with the use of the whip and the training that comes from it. God corrects us. He corrects every son whom He receives. Are you a son? If you're a son, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, expect His instruction. Go to His Word. See what He has to say to you. Expect His guidance as He convinces you, as He convicts you, as He reproves you. Be sure to practice the things that you learn. Be in the gymnasium of God. Practice the things that you learn. And look for His correction when you need to be guided in a different way. What son is there that a father does not discipline? The writer then compares our heavenly Father to our earthly fathers. Verse 7, it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. If you're not disciplined, you may not be a son. You may just be coming in and filling a pew, but if you're not growing, if you're not learning, if you're not seeing how God is changing your life and transforming your life so that you become more and more like Him, then you have to wonder, am I a son? Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? Look to what God is doing. Respect what He is doing in you and for you and through you. For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. God disciplines us for our good. Expect that discipline and see His love in that discipline that He gives us. And it's for our good. Now, as I started looking at this passage, I was just expecting the word for good here. It's not just the word for good. The word that is used for our good, sinfero, it means to carry together. It's the idea of uniting with something. What are we uniting with? Well, we're uniting with our God, that we might share His holiness. He brings things together. Elsewhere in Scripture, we see this word translated most often as together. He brings us together. He puts the various parts of our lives together and brings us together to what we should be. He also brings us together as the body of Christ. He makes us into His body so that we can share the things that He has given us, so we can encourage one another, so we can stimulate one another to love and good works, so we can work on each other and be used of God to show the discipline. You may have something that you need to share with someone else that God is using to discipline them. Someone else may have something to share with you so that God can discipline you. Don't be afraid of that. As we work together, as we live together as believers in Jesus Christ, as we're part of the body of Christ, we should be helping each other to do what? To conform to our God, to share in the holiness of our God, to be more like Him. So He begins by bringing us together, by giving us a place in His kingdom, by calling us His sons, by bringing the various parts of our lives together so that we can honor Him. He puts us into a body of believers, so we can grow closer to one another as we grow closer to Him, and He brings us to Himself. The ultimate goal is union with Christ, sharing in the holiness of our God. He brings us together. He brings our lives together. He brings us together as His people. And He brings us to Himself. As we become more and more like our God, we are going to grow closer and closer together as His people. Now it's important to see where discipline is moving you. Discipline should not move you in a direction other than toward your God and toward His holiness. Discipline should be moving you to grow closer to one another in Christ. Will it be easy? No. There's hard things along the way. See where you are being used in other people's lives, and see how others are being used in your life so that we can all grow to become more like our God. We should be drawing closer to our God. This is the primary thing, so that we can share in His holiness. As we do that, the result will be the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Verse 11. For the moment, all discipline seems painful. Is it painful when someone comes and corrects you? Is it painful when the circumstances of life are used to get you thinking about something? Is it painful when you endure hardship? For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. The peaceful fruit of righteousness. Now, is righteousness the peaceful fruit? There's a question. The peaceful fruit of righteousness. So we become more righteous, and that's the peaceful fruit. Or is it that as we become more righteous, the peaceful fruit is those things that just spring out of that righteousness? The wonder of the fruit of the Spirit. The things that come as God conforms us to Him and we become more like Him. I think we can look at it as both. The peaceful fruit of righteousness, the peaceful fruit of our becoming more righteous, and the fruit that springs from that righteousness as we live for our God, as we love others as He has loved us. The peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? If you do, then God has brought you into His family. He will treat you as a son, one who has the rights of the kingdom, one who has the inheritance that is a part of being a part of God's family. And He will discipline you. Don't regard that discipline lightly. Look to how He is moving you, how He is changing you, how He is growing you to be more like Himself. To come together as a person, to come together as God's people, and to come together as the Church of Jesus Christ so that we are more like our God and we share in His holiness. Look for the peaceful fruit that comes out of the discipline of our God. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank You for Your word. And we thank You that we can see Your love in our lives. That as You discipline us, it is meant to draw us closer to You. Help us to not regard lightly the discipline that You send, but to see where You're moving us, to see how we can be conformed to Your image, to be more like our Savior, more like our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.